Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Friday, November 13th. We're about to talk to a very special guest from the Harvard School of Public Health who's got a vision for a rapid testing future for getting us out of the pandemic, maybe even more quickly than vaccines can. And we're going to pair this with a call-in for how you're navigating the pandemic with testing in your own life. Like, how often are you getting tested and why are you getting tested? Is it for your job? Essential workers are supposed to get tested once a month, or is it because it gives you peace of mind to get a negative test once in a while just because? You know, Mayor de Blasio is among those who say everybody should get tested. So are you following that just to be a good citizen? Or when are you getting tested? How often are you getting tested and why? And how does testing change your behavior? And with me now is Dr. Michael Minna, physician and assistant professor of epidemiology at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. He is also a leading expert on the next testing technologies that could bring us back from the crisis, maybe even more effectively than vaccines. Dr. Minna, we're so glad to have you. Welcome to WNYC.
Well, thanks so much.
You want to give us your big vision first? What are you working on and what's the big picture?
Sure. The big vision is that cases right now are obviously out of control across the United States. We don't yet have a vaccine. We generally don't, as a nation, want to go into total economic shutdown, although that's looking more and more inevitable for many regions. But we have, for many, many months now, we've had a tool at our disposal that we just haven't used, and that is frequent rapid testing. These paper strip tests, they're small tests that you can use in the comfort of your own home. They can or cannot be connected in some way to reporting to the public health authorities. We know there's a lot of people in the country who don't want to have Big Brother looking over them. And these are tests that if we get enough people using them, say everyone has a package of them at their home and they use them, they brush their teeth, and they use a rapid antigen test twice a week, that's enough to actually start curbing outbreaks, to get this exponential growth of cases to start decaying, to get the outbreaks to start subsiding by letting people know their status. If I am testing, you know, and I see that I'm positive, then I immediately pull out my confirmatory test, which Elon Musk apparently did not do yesterday if you were reading Twitter. And you'd confirm that it's that you're actually positive. And if so, then you'd stay home for the next, and you test yourself every day for the next, say, 10 days before going back to work. And if you're negative, then you do everything else the same. You still, if you're social distancing, you distance. If you're wearing masks, you wear a mask. And so these, by giving a lot of people, say half of the population, a constant sort of knowledge of their infectiousness status, we can actually stop the momentum of this virus. We can bring the virus to its knees without a vaccine through what I call sort of screening test mediated herd effects. This is similar to vaccine herd immunity, but instead of a vaccine stopping people from spreading to others, it's knowledge of your infectious status, whether or not you're contagious, will help you not spread it to your loved ones and your family and friends.
What was the Elon Musk story? I missed that.
Oh, well, Elon Musk, unfortunately, he tweeted out last night or yesterday, and it's got, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of retweets now, that he used an antigen test multiple times in a row and got discordant results. He got two pluses and two minuses, and he said, you know, something's going wrong here, going terribly wrong. He didn't give nearly enough information to understand what it is, why he was doing that. You know, is he at actually the beginning or end of the infection? And there's just so little virus that, you know, it's kind of fluctuating in and out of a positive status. Or, for example, we know that sometimes, you know, on just a random day, some people will get a false positive result. And that's why we always want to confirm testing, especially with things like rapid antigen tests, where we know that one out of 100 or one out of 400 tests can become falsely positive, we always want to have another test right on hand, a second rapid test that's different, a different company, for example. And so if you get a positive on one, you immediately take the confirmatory test that kind of came with the package. But he's clearly not doing any confirmatory testing. And so assuming that the screening test positive is not always the best idea. We always want to confirm with any laboratory test. This isn't specific to COVID.
You know, we had a public health journalist on the show recently who was somewhat skeptical about this vision of kind of opening the path for a mass reentry into society because people won't be honest, because people who test positive in too many cases, obviously in, you know, presumably in the majority of cases, people will be honest, but in a big enough minority of cases, people either just won't want to go through the hassle of quarantining for 2 weeks if they test negative, if they test positive, or they have income pressures and they won't want to stay home from their jobs, things like that. So this would have a huge hole in it on that basis. What would your response to that be?
That person is not thinking through a big enough epidemiological lens. There's a very good answer to that. One of the beauties of this approach is this idea of herd effect. So far, the way that most people think is thinking we have to stop all of the cases to stop the outbreak. We have to stop this type of thinking. We keep thinking of this pandemic as a lot of medical problems that lead to a public health problem, but that's not actually what's happening. We have a public health problem that's causing a lot of individual medical problems. And the reason I say that is because if you start to think from a public health and whole pandemic perspective thinking about the whole outbreak, you stop caring about the individual cases. As long as you can get the average rate of transmission across the whole population below one, meaning that on average, when you average everything out, the people infect fewer than one additional person. And so the whole way that this plan would work in the first place is that you only need a fraction of people to be participating. So you could have half of the people completely disregard their results, totally not, you know, they get a positive, they go to work, you know, and the program can still work. It's all accounted for in the same way that we know that vaccines, we've probably all heard about herd immunity and what's the fraction of the population that must be vaccinated to get the outbreaks to stop transmitting. We know that that's not 100%. You only need to get the vaccine to say 50% of the people. And that sort of, it takes the momentum out of an outbreak. It gets, you know, it's a little bit hard to explain the mathematics of why it happens, but the real point here is that those skeptics who say, well, not everyone's going to take it seriously and people still have to go to work, things like that, they're not understanding the epidemiology of how outbreaks move, which is, in this case, you just have to get the average across the population below one. So you could have half of the people totally, you know, just choose not to participate at all. And it can still work to very rapidly slow down and stop outbreaks.
You're right that we've gotten this done. We could have gotten this done months ago for essentially pennies. Really? We could be living in this home antigen test strip. I guess when you say test strip, it's saliva-based. You don't have to stick a swab all the way up your nose. And that we could be doing this already, really?
Oh, absolutely. These tests have been, this technology has been around for a long time. It's actually the same technology as an at-home pregnancy test. Many countries are using these. We are not currently, because we have regulatory hurdles and we have had an administration that has been entirely unwilling to act appropriately to fight this virus. But many, many countries are now using these test strips, not in the massive numbers that I think we need to really use this as a control mechanism. But even Slovakia right now, for example, is doing a massive trial of this. They're testing over half of their entire population once a week for a number of weeks. And what they saw is just in the first week alone, they halved the incidence. Cases went from going upwards to dropping in half. Mm. And that's not surprising. So, that's exactly what we would expect.
So what do we need? Do we need some kind of political kindling or something like that to start this fire? Like, should I ask Mayor de Blasio when he's coming on after you, if there's a way the city can set up a rapid test regime, and if New York starts to crawl out of the fire this way, then other places will? Or how does this get started?
Yeah, I think we do. We need pilots, and we need to show that this works in the United States, that people will use this in their home, especially if they, you know, if the result is theirs. A lot of people will use it just because they want to know if they're, you know, if they are contagious with a virus that they might not know they have. And I think to get the political will on board, we have unfortunately had a White House that has had no political will, no will at all to fight this virus. And so we haven't seen it move forward. But if we want to do this program, we do need to build up more capacity. Right now, we could build probably across all the different companies, maybe around 2 million tests per day. But to really make this work, we probably need somewhere between 10 to 20 million tests that are kind of each day that people in their homes would use, which isn't a lot. We could do it.
Do you have a commitment from the Biden administration? I know he uses the words rapid tests to launch a meaningful pilot program like you referred to quickly.
I do not have any commitment like that from the Biden administration. I know that that the president-elect has been discussing this as one option that's on the table.
Okay. Let's hear some people's testing stories. Maria in New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maria.
Hey there. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, okay. It's my first time calling. So, yes, I work in a factory type of place. We have a factory and also offices. And recently, one guy in the factory tested positive. So the boss brought a testing team in to test everyone. There's about 50 people that work there. Out of that, I think 4 or 5 tested positive. Nobody had any symptoms. So I take care of my 90-year-old father and also a brother who has issues as well. So as soon as I heard that there was one person positive, I did not go back mm-hmm. to work. I went and got myself a PCR test. So
and this is working for you, it sounds like, to be able to maintain that family contact and maintain your job, testing 3 times a week, 3 times in 2
well,
weeks.
Well, this is just since these positives
right.
happened at work. So now I'm nervous. I mean, my boss has been very good about me staying home and taking care of my family. So that I'm very lucky and blessed to have that.
So, Dr. Minna, what does her story represent in terms of how people can use currently available tests and the limitations of that?
There's so much in that, just that short story. This describes why we need to, I mean, on the one hand, why we need to support people who can't go to work because this virus is transmitting. We have to have Congress appropriate the funds to make sure that everyone who is staying home so that they do not get the infection or transmit the infection onwards has income so that they can try to themselves not be part of the transmission chain. That's absolutely critical for any of these programs, any testing or control program. But what it also represents, she said none of them had symptoms, and that's the problem with this virus. That's why symptomatic surveillance and random surveillance isn't going to work. We need frequent testing of individuals and likely on their own terms to get them to do it, meaning at home and easy. And, you know, if we don't, then what happens is this virus transmits silently among many, many people. And so if that person hadn't been detected, and I'm not sure what made that one individual first detectable, but, you know, she could have unknowingly got it, contracted the virus, and even if she was asymptomatic, meaning no symptoms, could have transmitted to her 90-plus-year-old parent, and that could have been a deadly decision. And so this is why we need to, A, get the virus under control overall, but also why we need to give as many people in the country the possibility to be knowing their infection status on their own terms as frequently as they can.
Here's Margaret in Danbury, I think, sitting in her car at a COVID testing site. Hi, Margaret, and do I have that right?
Yes, you have that correct. Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me. This is my first time getting a COVID test. I do live in Connecticut. I live in a very rural part of Danbury, but this first COVID test has been difficult. I got here at 9 o'clock, but it proved to be a 3-hour wait when I got here, and they immediately put up traffic cones. They're not letting anyone else in. It's a very gross rainy day. The reason why I am getting tested for the first time is because my work has had 2 scares in 2 weeks. No one's been positive, but we've all had to, you know, miss a week. No pay. It's very difficult times. And I'd like to ask the doctor a question. How often or how frequent can you get a test after getting exposed? Like, how soon?
Well, it's a really great question. It really depends on what your access to tests are. And so if you have one shot at goal, if you will, you know, you only have one opportunity to get tested, then a good time frame to get that test after you know you've been exposed is probably around 6 days. There, in the first few days, is an incubation period where the virus is kind of getting situated in your body. It's not transmitting to other people in those first few days, but it's also not testable. It's not in enough abundance to get picked up by the test. And once it starts growing, though, then you can start picking up. But that, how long it takes to start growing in that way is really varies. Some people, it's as long as 14 days, but that's very rare. Most people will start to become detectable within the first 5 or 6 days. And so what I would recommend, first, if you know you've had a high-risk exposure, you want to quarantine yourself. You want to try to not mistakenly spread it to others. And then you probably want to try to get a test. And again, if you have just one test opportunity, then try to get it probably around day 6 or so would be a good time to sort of maximize the likelihood that you find the virus if it is there.
Margaret, I hope that's helpful. Thank you for calling in. Hannah in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Dr. Michael Mina. Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. So I'm a physician in one of the big New York City hospitals, and they are not doing any asymptomatic testing on any of the employees or trainees. They haven't at all in the entire course of this, even though we were hit incredibly hard. And in fact, I'm actually on quarantine right now because my daughter had a fever, and so we went to an HHC testing site. Actually had a great, great experience there. But my husband tested positive, so we've been quarantining for that reason, but has been very difficult to get any asymptomatic testing through my employer.
Yeah, this continues to astound me at my own hospital here in Boston. And at almost all hospitals in the country, we are not routinely testing our physicians or staff. Meanwhile, we have major outbreaks that continue to spread through these hospitals, oftentimes with physicians and staff and nurses and others part of those transmission chains. This I can't even begin to understand why the places that have the testing capacity available are not using it to keep their employees safe and to keep their patients safer. I am a big advocate for all hospitals that can, and any hospitals that can't should try to get frequent testing as a part of work these days. I mean, these are people who are often dealing with sick patients and moving through cancer hospitals, children's hospital, everything. You know, we need to keep everyone safe, including the physicians and staffs themselves. And I believe pretty firmly that we have opportunities, especially in the hospitals that have labs. We could be pooling samples, take 50 physicians, have them all swab them their own noses and stick their tubes into a single tube, stick their swabs into one tube and do all 50 of those swabs at once. You can really be efficient with this type of testing in these settings. But so far in the United States, we're barely doing any of it. And I just can't understand why.
We are almost out of time. We have under a minute, and we have Mayor de Blasio standing by next. I'm thinking still about the caller from Connecticut in her car in a three-hour line to get a test this morning. And we're hearing stories like that all over the place. Why, at this point in the pandemic, when, you know, officials from liberal Democrats to conservative Republicans have said, we've got testing ramped up now, why are these things still happening? I'm hearing so many stories like this.
Because we don't actually have the type of testing that this epidemic demands. We are fooling ourselves if we think we do. And we can't just have it all bottlenecked through these drive-throughs. People, you know, it's going to turn people off. They're sitting in their car, they're wasting their time. We need to ramp up a different type of test. We can't shove everything through these laboratory-based PCRs. We need to bring the test to people's homes. And we just haven't seen any strategy with testing to this day. I mean, I think a kindergarten soccer team coach has more strategy for getting those players on the field than our president and our country has had in terms of how we're using testing. We have not had any strategy, and it's just jumbling everything up. And we really, if a little strategy goes a long way in this pandemic, and you know, we just need a plan.
Dr. Michael Minna, testing expert from the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. This was fascinating. I hope you'll come back with us. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.